بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسول كريم أما بعد. We have a few rules pertaining to purification of impurities and purities and impurities before we continue, so let us complete that. If a person had some flour and a dog came and put its mouth in that flour, any dry product, or a monkey came, put its mouth. So what is the ruling? So because it is a dry product, then wherever it put its mouth, and whichever part of it is wet, if that part is removed, then the rest of it that is dry and has been unaffected by the saliva of the monkey or of the dog, the rest of it will be pure and it can be used. If it was something like a liquid water, then the entire water will become impure. Now moving on to the next section, which is slightly different from what we have been discussing. These are regarding purities and impurity. What is pure, what is impure? The food, and this is talking about if you hired a cook and the cook is a non-Muslim, or it's a non-Muslim that is cooking some vegetables, for example. Because the general rule is that when it comes to meat in the hands of a disbeliever, then we don't trust meat that is in the hands of a disbeliever. So if it is vegetables, for example, or it's a cook that a person hired and he's a disbeliever, then his food will not be regarded to be impure just because he is a disbeliever handling the food. Likewise, his utensils, he has some washed utensils, he has some plates, some cups, some pots, then we won't regard it just to be impure because it is his. He has a glass and he uses glass to drink water, for example. We won't say that that is impure. And his clothes, because he is a disbeliever, we won't just say that now his clothing are impure, or the clothing that he has used, or if he's selling it, for example, we won't say it's impure because it was in his possession, or if it was used clothing. Until and unless there is some proof or indication of its impurity. This is the rule in regards to this matter. We find that in the Shariat, doubts are not entertained. Doubts are not entertained. The original state of something is considered. And until and unless there is proof that there is impurity, then the original state will be considered that is, it must be pure. Incidentally, many people have this problem. They are sure that they made wuzu. I made wuzu, for example, at Asr time. I know I made wuzu. I perform my salah. Now it is Maghrib time. And I'm not sure if my wuzu broke. I can't remember it breaking. So now a person is now thinking whether he should make wuzu, should not make wuzu. So there is a maxim, an usul, a principle in fiqh, which is called al-yaqeen la yazulu bishak. That conviction cannot be removed by a doubt. You know you made wuzu, you're not sure if your wuzu break. Trying to think and you can't remember your wuzu breaking at all, so then it will be considered as if your wuzu is still intact and a person performs his salah, his maghrib salah. So this happens often sometimes. A person, he knows he made wudu, can't remember his wuzu breaking. Yes, afterwards if a person remembers for sure my wudu did break, then he will have to go and repeat his salah. That's a different masala. But for example, if he is late and he's rushing, and he's not sure, if I make wudu on Muzda Salah, but I can't remember, I know I have wudu, then he shouldn't entertain a doubt. So these are some of the principles that are there. So there's another principle, similar principle, that the original state is considered unless there is proof to show that something is impure. So one is, we know the dog's mouth, the saliva is impure, the monkey is impure, but we spoke about last week, If an animal, like for example a monkey, came and played with the Jojo tank water, so logic will tell us unhygienic. impure. But Shariat says, and we know that they scratch and they touch impurities all over. But Shariat says that until and unless you have proof that it had impurity on its hands, urine, excreta, impurity, hygiene is another issue. But for purity sake, for purity, then if it put its hand in the water won't become impure. Unless you are sure that it had impurity on its hand, then it will become impure. Otherwise, we'll just take it that it is not impure, the water is not impure. If a person is walking on the road, like in Ramadan, and it was raining very, very heavy, and he had to skip and jump over the road in puddles, and now his shins, his ankles, his shoes all got wet, he made wuzu at home, and now he comes into the masjid. So what is the state now? Person is thinking now that my legs are impure, I'm impure now, what should I do? Do I need to now wash my clothes? For example, his kurta got also, it got messed with the impurity or with the dirty water. So it is mentioned here that mud and dirty water on the roads is excused. You don't see any impurity on or in the water, and you're not sure if there is impurity in the water. If there is some impurity, you know definitely on the top of the road, there was impurity, some droppings, some animal droppings there, but you don't see it in the water, then you will still ignore it and you won't consider it. This is the fatwa. However, taqwa and caution demands that a person who doesn't often travel on the roads, he should try and cleanse his body and wash off this mud and dirty water. But like in our case, if a person parked across the road and he had to come to the masjid, the fatwa is he shouldn't worry about it, shouldn't entertain. Unless he is definitely 100% sure that that is real impurity, excreta, etc. on his body. But under normal circumstances, a person shouldn't entertain these doubts and can just wash his feet and legs. If there's some droplets of water or a significant amount of water on his clothing, he should just ignore it and continue with his salah. Allah Ta'ala will accept the salah. When something that is impure is burnt, then the smoke that comes out of it, that is pure. So the non-Muslim is having his braai there with his haram meat. And that smoke is coming, rising, coming into your nostrils, coming onto your clothing. Now a person is getting irritated. So the masla is that the smoke that comes out of anything that is impure. You know, in India they get dung cakes. They burn that. So they're burning that dung. So the smoke that is coming out, that is not impure. That will be pure. In fact, it is said that certain things are made out of that smoke also. Certain processes, that vapor and that smoke, etc., where these impure things are burnt, and then that smoke and that vapor is used to make something else. So whatever is the product of that also, that will not be impure, that will also be pure. If there are any gases also that rise up from any impurities, and those gases also will not be regarded to be impure. Any worms that are found in fruit are not impure, but you can't eat them. If they come out of the fruit, they won't be impure if a person touched them, even if they are moist. But obviously you cannot eat worms, insects, it's haram to eat them. A person shouldn't eat them. That's why it's advisable when we buy fruit to cut it up, especially guavas and these types of fruit where worms generally are found, to cut it up and to check if there are worms and then only to consume it. If any food products become stale and smelly, they do not become impure just by becoming stale and developing a bad smell. It is not impure to touch that food. However, person should look at for the purposes of health reasons, shouldn't consume it, give it to the animals, etc., or have some other use for it. But it's not impure to touch that. A person that is sleeping, while sleeping, saliva comes out of the mouth, is drooling. So that saliva is not impure. But if saliva comes out of the mouth of a dead person, one is a sleeping person, not impure. Dead person saliva, impure. that dead person's saliva is regarded to be impure. An egg that has gone off but is intact, the color has changed. So that egg as it is, when it is fresh, when it is gone off, the color has changed. In both conditions, it's regarded to be pure. But the moment you crack that egg, the impure egg, and that now whatever was inside the yolk, etc., it became impure and it became rotten, and that will be regarded to be impure. The skin of a snake that is shedded, the shedded skin is pure. The skin of the snake while it's alive is impure. Many people don't know this. Children are going for excursions, putting the snake on them, making them touch the snake. Right? Certain creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we keep our distance. You know? So in this day and age, they're making it pets, keeping it in their rooms. Ball pythons. So they're keeping ball python pets, and they're selling it. So for Muslims, so we don't engage in all of this. We have to explain to our children also. So the skin of that, imagine a dog's coat and fur and skin is not impure. Saliva is impure. But the snake skin is impure. So this is something to take note of. Incidentally, any animal skin besides the pig, the khinzir, any animal skin that is tanned, even if it was slaughtered in a haram way, and it was tanned, or even tanned where it is made dry, like how they used to do in the old days, in the sun or whatever, so then that skin will become pure. If it had to be a lion skin, tiger skin, some animal skin, and it was tanned, even if it was slaughtered or killed in a haram manner, but the skin will become pure through tanning. That is another ruling. If someone washed his clothing and it was impure, then the water that drips from that clothing, for example, you have to wash it 3 times, right? So the first time you washed, and now the water that is dripping from the first wash, so that water is also still impure. Second wash is impure. After he washes it the 3rd time, now the clothing is pure. So if a person was using different buckets and he was washing his clothes, for example, he used the first bucket, he washed his clothing, then he used another bucket of water. So now, see, our Shariat is so perfect, right? We're mentioning this masla. It's very rare that it will occur, something like this. But look at the beauty of the Shariat. The Shariat has gone into such detail. It says the first water that a person used to wash the clothing now what's the ruling of that water? Then you got the second water, and then you got the 3rd water. So what is the ruling? So they say the difference in these 3 waters is that if the water which was used to wash the first time falls on some clothing, that clothing will have to be purified by washing it 3 times still. It's in the ruling of the impurity. The water that was used the 2nd time, if that falls on the clothes, then the cloth can be purified by washing it 2x now. Because that's the 2nd water. So much of detail in our Shariat. So beautiful Shariat is. The water that a dead person was given a bath in. You know, in the old days, they used to bath a person in the home, sometimes in the kitchen, in a lounge, wherever. You used to find a spot, use a table also. You used to use a table and give the bath, right? As I say, the water that comes off the body of that person that has passed away, that water is impure now. Bathing the dead body. Even though there's no physical impurity, but you're bathing the dead body, that water that falls off the body now is impure. So we need to know that also. Nowadays, alhamdulillah, they got everything professionally done. But if it splashes on a person, for example, then he'll have to take note of that. That is why they advise people that are making ghusl for the deceased, those people should also take a mustahab for them, preferable for them to take a bath afterwards. Not necessary for them, but preferable for them to take a bath. Nowadays, they give them all those protective gear also. Then, If a small child, we spoke about used water and we spoke about unused water. Used water is that water that a person made wuzu with and he collected it. Ghusl with and he collected it. If there's no physical impurity inside. So we said that water a person can't use to make wuzu and ghusl again. But he can use it to wash off an impurity. There's some blood on the floor, he can wash it off. He can wash some dishes with it. Right? We said that generally we won't do that, but these masail are very valuable if you're living in a place where you need to conserve water. Living on a farm, for example, or if there's a drought, as I explained how one brother used to collect that water and then use it in a toilet to flush the toilet, etc. So nevertheless, they say if a child that is very, very small, 4 or 5 year old child, or even a person that's insane, if they had to make wuzu, then their water won't have that ruling of being used water. So if that water had to be collected, a person can make wudu with it. Very small child and a person that is insane. It is makruh to drink used water. Water that is collected after wuzu or ghusl, or to use it in cooking. But it can be used to wash off impurities as we explained. Zamzam water should not be used to make wudu. Zamzam water should not be used to make wudu. And it shouldn't be used to have a bath. To wash impurities with it and to make istinja with it is also makruh and disliked. But if one is compelled to use it where there is no other water, within the radius of about 1.7 kilometers, and there is no other way of purifying oneself, then all of these will be permissible, wuzu, ghusl. But under normal circumstances, no. The zamzam, the best thing, you know, they say a believer can drink a lot of zamzam. A disbeliever won't be able to drink zamzam. A lot of it. So when we dare, Allah Ta'ala take us all, we can drink liters and liters. You know, people have skin problems, and this problem and that problem. I'm telling you, tried and tested, you go and drink that zamzam and see in a few days, your whole skin gets clear also. Imagine it shows on your skin. It shows on your skin. Imagine internally, internal purification. You actually feel that energy, that nur in that zamzam water. There's hadith also where requests were made. I think Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to Medina Sharif, zamzam was in Makkah Sharif. So requested people, you know, used to bring it in those leather bags. To bring water for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they say in the old days also, what you would look forward to was the zamzam, the khajur and the zamzam, right? But nowadays you want al-asr, al-fajr, and what names, right? Now they're looking forward to that. If you, our elders say, you bring khajur and zamzam, you're not too happy now, not too impressed. You pull out the al-fajr and the al-asr and all these things, asil and all these things. Now, right? MashaAllah. Now you brought me something valuable. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. We can understand what is the true value. We'll just read one or two more inshallah and conclude. This is a very important one. Actually, this is the last one. To make wuzu or ghusl with the water of those places where some nation was punished by Allah, such as the people of Thamud and the Aad, is not proper. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba were passing that valley where the Allah Ta'ala's azab came. And they were using that food to cook, using the water to cook their food and to make their dough. And they had taken water, etc. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he said, throw out all that water, discard everything that you used to make with that water, and don't use that water. And you shouldn't enter these places where Allah Ta'ala's azab came, except that you should be crying and fearful of Allah Ta'ala that Allah's azab will come upon you like it came upon them. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qanna'a ra'sahu, he covered his Mubarak head, wa asra'a sayr, and he rode his animal very, very quickly out of that valley. So the ulama talk about the Dead Sea. You know the Dead Sea, it's a tourist attraction. They say that is like the place where the Qawm Lut, the people of Lut alayhi salam, one of the lowest points on earth where Allah Ta'ala's azab came. So people go there for sightseeing, etc. And so to go there and to swim there and to go there and just to walk through that place, etc. So the ulama say, shouldn't do that. Shouldn't do that because of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shouldn't use that water, we shouldn't go to such places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. Inshallah, from next week we will start with the masail regarding istinja. Subhanallah.